Happy Saturday
Love
afternoon.
Talk Radio.
Joe Corley. Happy Saturday afternoon. It's Joe Corley, and we're here in Durham, North Carolina. We're at the AMAA Who's Who Legends and Awards event, and we're sitting here with our hosts. It's the Grandmaster Jesse Bowen, and to his left is Mr. Harry Lawson, and to his left you have Mr. Mark Johnson. To his left, you have Mr. Polian, Mr. Morris Polian. Did I pronounce that correct?
Yes, you did.
Okay, and then you have me directly to his left. And to my left, you have Mr. Grandmaster Paul Callaghan. So, gentlemen, today we're here to talk about an interesting subject. But before we get started, we'd like to I'd like to get some information from Grandmaster Bowen. Now, Grandmaster Bowen, you have a great book here. It's entitled Who's Who in the Martial Arts. And you have pulled together a really phenomenal group of martial arts masters and grandmasters. You call them black belt achievers as well. We have a tribute to the legacy of people who passed away in this past couple of years. Give us an idea of how this came to pass in your mind. What was your end in mind when you started this project?
Well, thank you, Mr. Corley. When starting this project, it was just I woke up and had a dream about it, and I went and pulled out my Who's Who book from 1982, and I said in the notes that it was all falling apart. And I said, you know, this is a great idea that we had, my teacher had, and Mr. Dale Brooks back in 1982. And since that time, not many publications have been put out. So my objective in starting this was that we tell the story. You know, in today's time, we know telling the story, you know, creates the value. If you want to know most motivational speakers, it's their story of their path that's made them famous. So as we are looking at martial artists, many times our great martial artists have died, they've gone on, but there's not a footprint in the sand. So the objective of Who's Who is to go back and help them tell their stories in the past 21st century language and with the technology. So the book is really about having an opportunity to share your martial arts experience as a grandmaster, as a master, as a black belt, and also to recognize those people that have passed and gone on, but they also were achievers and they helped to pioneer the martial arts.
So that brings us to the event itself. And so you've used the book as a way to be kind of the coalescing point for people to show up. But as you and I have talked, you want to make sure that lessons leave the building after the banquet tonight. And so we came up with a group of questions that we could ask masters. And one of the things that comes to my mind is we know that every generation tends to set its own value system in place, but there are principles in the real world that are timeless. For example, as Stephen Covey says, you can't jump out of a 10th-story window and change your mind at the fifth floor. You know, those are principles that are in place, but the values might be different. So what are the things that we may have done well in the past in the martial arts in these past four decades, for example, that we would want to see carried on, carried forward by today's martial arts leaders? So what do you think about that, Mr. Lawson?
I was thinking about it changing some people's lives, you know, to put them in another direction instead of just going out doing nothing, have something to look forward to. It changes, especially young people.
So what you're saying, if I understand you correctly, is that we want to make sure that they understand the martial arts is about changing lives, not just about teaching people to punch and kick. So keep the underlying values there. We have, to his left, we have Master Mark Johnson. Master Johnson, what do you think about? What are principles that we'd like to carry forward through this next generation?
Some principles we definitely want to carry forward are respect, discipline, seeing the end in mind when you're beginning a project. So a lot of kids these days they're just going out and doing things without having an end in mind. And when we were growing up in the olden days, we would start college, get a degree, start as a white belt, get a black belt. Everything we started, we finished because we had the end in mind. And those are the principles that we want our young kids coming up to have today, as opposed to just winning tournaments.
So he's speaking, Mr. Polian, about the idea of having something more than just today's rewards, but what the long-term rewards are. And I know you come from a police officer's background as well. What do you see that people could use? What principles could instructors imbue in their students and carry forward that would help them, you know, be on the right side of things going forward?
Well, actually, I have to piggyback a little bit off everybody and then tell you from the law enforcement side of it. Basically, when you're talking about martial arts, you are talking about discipline, you're talking about self-control, but you're also talking about a goal. And Master Johnson referred to a goal. You start one, you finish it. In this day and time, we have so much going on and so much other stuff to interfere with what we're doing. It's trying to water down the martial arts. The martial arts are there, and it's been a strong point for myself to make me stay online in the right path, so I won't go out there and do stuff that's illegal, go out there and do stuff that's not appropriate for the community. I think that martial art itself sets that base for you and gives you an understanding in a family. Like, I feel that all of us are family in here.
Mm-hmm. That's great. So the family aspect is very important. And Grandmaster Callaghan, that brings us to an interesting point in my mind. You know, the martial arts originally were taught in monasteries, you know, which had a religious underpinning. We have a secular group in our country now that wants to separate religion from everything we do. Yet you have a presidential candidate now, Dr. Ben Carson, who comes out and tells a very strong story about, you know, what are the right principles to follow. You know, they asked him today on television, for example, how does he feel about these people that are blasting him for certain things he says. And it's interesting. He said, we should pray for them because they're ignorant. You know, so it's a really interesting time, and I know you've been a pastor for decades now. How do you feel that doing the right thing finds its way into the martial arts world, and what could we do to help our next generation of instructors get a feel for that? You know, not just the punching and kicking, not just the trophies, as Master Johnson said, but doing that right thing for the right reason.
What I've done from experiences, I've tried to relate to each student on a personal basis so I could find out from relating to what I think they need to develop in. And I had have a principle, and I set this goal, and the motto was, energy flows where attention goes. And so anything you set your mind to and you stay on course, you can accomplish given time and experience. So I try to encourage people that no matter what folks say or what background you come from, if you want to do something, you can do it. If you believe you can do it, you can do it.
So the student's a vessel, and you see in that student the need for growth in a certain area, so you try to include that growth principle at the same time you're teaching them to punch and kick.
That's right.
So, Grandmaster Bowen, the idea is then that in the martial arts we get to preach a little bit while we teach. So how do we teach the millennials of today how to carry those principles forward? How do we make sure they've got the understanding of those principles so that they can care enough about their students to follow those paths?
Well, one of the most important things not to do is to sacrifice because change is here. Change is a very good thing. You know, we have to conserve the values, and that's what we see so many times in our society from the news of, you know, we look at how many murders every week, you know, you got senseless murders
happening. Well, it's been happening all the time, but it seems to be an increase. And so what we're saying to do is the value of who we are we're breaking. So when we now let go of values, it's going to be replaced by something else. And the something else is going to be replaced by, if we don't control what our children learn or we don't control what they do and nurture them now, then they maybe do something. Who knows what they're going to be in the future. They're going to learn from someone. So in our groups of martial artists that are we have here this weekend that we're honoring, we're talking about those values. They're all bringing something to the table. They're all bringing a lesson that we're going to learn from that.
So lessons learned, Mr. Lawson. Stephen Covey says that our homes used to be our kind of our fortresses, but now you can have these digital signals come through the doors and the windows, and you've got children in there, and you've been trying to teach them principles, and they can plug into almost anything that's negative, you know, without you ever even knowing about it. So what do we do in the martial arts world to create the kind of structure, the kind of integrity in those students where they can be as immune as possible to those negative forces?
I think you should stick to the true value of what life is all about. You know, once you start something, you try to finish it. I just watch this Buster the movie, and he said it on that. I shall finish the game. Bill Kidd said that if they did something to a person that was taking care of him, and then some guy came and killed him, so he said he's going to finish the game because they started the game. So I say stick with whatever you're doing and try to finish it out. You know? So we try to put that value in those kids. Don't just tell us when you just stop. Well, I'll do that.
So persistence is one of the things. In addition to persistence, Mr. Johnson, what else do you think that can help these kids almost be, and I call them kids now at this point in my life, but I'm talking about the millennials. You know, they say the millennials are people that were born, you know, since 1980, you know, so, and these are the ones that are going to carry forward our principles in our country as well as the principles in the martial arts. And our country is really the tipping place. There's a statistic I just learned the other day that my daughter, who is 18, going to be 18, 50 years from now when she's 68, based on today's immigration laws, today's legal immigration laws, for every American that was born here who has a child, that they will be outnumbered 7-1 50 years from now. So when you talk about transforming America, America is getting ready to be transformed in a major way. It's happening in everything, you know. The iPhone that we're talking on now, you know, gives people ways to escape from reality, a way to stay away from principles. So how do we get kids in our classes? How do we get these instructors in our classes to wrap their minds around what have been American principles and carry them forward?
And one thing I've learned all throughout my years in the martial arts is that a tree is only as strong as its roots. A building is only as strong as its foundation. And once you have a strong foundation, you can build anything from that. And if these kids today have a strong foundation, that foundation may be martial arts that teaches them the discipline to finish whatever they're starting. That foundation can help them finish law school, medical school, accounting, any discipline that they want to achieve in life, they can. And that comes from having a strong foundation either from home or from a dojo. But it doesn't matter. Foundation is foundation.
Foundations, I know, is something that would be important in the law enforcement. Well, I'm sure that you run into people who haven't had that support at home or haven't had that basis, and they're on the wrong side of the law. How do you see a martial arts school being able to help those kids? You know, Chuck Norris has a great program called Kickstart.
Yes, he does.
He funds it himself. It's out of Houston, Texas, where they work with underprivileged kids and have just a great success. Is there a way to use the martial arts so our instructors could have that sense of wanting to give back to the community? How do we get them to do that?
You know, that's a very good question, Joe, but I like to say this about that. You know, you have a lot of troubled people out there. You have a lot of one-parent families. And people are so easily swayed by their peers and stuff. And I think due to martial arts, you get them in, like I spoke earlier about family, you get them to understand that there's another avenue other than being out there on the street, other than out there fighting, shooting, drugs, and stuff of that nature. We do have an increase in crime now. But, you know, back in the olden days, you know, we did a lot ourselves. We didn't depend on computers. We didn't depend on all this modern technology we got now. I spoke earlier to an instructor about that, where that, you know, a store might be right down the street. My car is right here. I'm going to drive right down the street instead of walking. I think we're taking away from ourselves. And by being in the martial arts, it gives us that avenue of working out, being more physical, exercising the brain and the body at the same time.
And the earlier comment you made about family, too, which you just tied together, you said they have these one-parent families, but if they get involved in your martial arts school, and if you're giving enough to make them feel like they're part of your family, then they have other parents that they want to do right for. And I know, Reverend Callaghan, that's got to be, based on what you said, a big part of the way you teach that. You know, one of Stephen Covey's principles is called win-win. And the win-win has to do with making sure that the people that I'm working with are going to win, not just win tournament, but win in life.
That's right. You know, I think a whole lot of attention should be given to the instructors themselves, first, second, self, and trying to develop themselves. Because when we deal with people, we're pouring what's in us into every person that we come into contact and spends any time.
Beautiful principle, yeah. So you're saying, all right, so you're a black belt, maybe you're a fourth or fifth or sixth degree black belt, but you can't think that your learning is over. So what are some of the kind of readings that you would recommend to our next generation of millennials? What should they do to grow?
Matthew, that's maybe just from a little different angle.
Okay.
What I teach, I try to teach the principles by which they have are able to control their mental patterns of thinking through meditation, and combine the meditative state with the physical state, so it gives them internal control of themselves, and then they feel motivated to kind of encourage others to emulate them. They take a more positive approach in their thinking, and they integrate it into their techniques. So
you're saying in personal development, and Covey calls it the inside-out approach. I want to help other people change. Where do I start? I start with myself.
Yeah.
So that's what you're saying. So, and meditation is a great way. You know, they say the average mind, the average person has 60,000 independent thoughts a day. And too many people have the same 60,000 thoughts every day. So what you're suggesting is they go and learn something so that they'll have something new to teach, and they could start with meditation. I know, Grandmaster Bowen, you do a lot of reading. What kind of reading would you recommend the millennials to give them a kind of a great foundation, a better understanding of themselves that they could share with others?
Well, you know, there's a whole lot of great material out there. I've been training mentally with a program that's called Sova Method, and I've been involved with that program now for almost 40 years, and I coach and teach that program. But I think finding, you know, reading is one thing. Comprehending and understanding is something else. And there's a lot of really good guided meditation, because we're not able to make those changes until we make those changes on the inside. Someone might say, well, you know, is that person ready? They don't change until they're ready. Well, getting ready is really getting to the inside to be able to make that change. Meditation is the best way to do that. And, again, there's a lot of different programs out there on it. You know, I have my own program that I teach at Duke University as a part of physical education, and it's called Zen Mind Body Mindfulness Meditation, which is a connection of guided mindfulness training, visualization training, NLP, and also hypnosis. So it has quite a few things in there. Because when you make a change, if you bring someone into the martial arts and that person needs, you know, we find that people bring students to us as martial arts instructors because they've heard about the changes that martial arts can make with an individual. Well, that they would spend more meditative time, those changes could be made faster. So most of them know what meditation is, but they don't know how to utilize it. So I would recommend people reading and listening to more things that books and audio programs, lectures and speakers, of teaching how to connect the mind-body and how to be able to build that intuitive factor that they were actually born with. And then if they develop that, they can make better decisions because they can look into the future and find out, if I make this decision, then this is going to be an outcome rather than, you know, because meditation allows you to be proactive instead of reactive.
So that's habit one in the Stephen Covey world is be proactive, and then habit two, begin with the end in mind, and then habit three is to put first things first. So can you say the name of that one book that you mentioned about the mindfulness, the Zen mindfulness?
Yes, Zen Mind Body Mindfulness. You can go to www.zenmind-body.com, or you can go to my website, which is coachjessebowen.com.
So let's bring it back down to some of the more basic things now, Mr. Lawson. We, you know, a lot of us have been involved in martial arts tournaments for years and years, but many of the groups that mentor us now tell us not to take our students to martial arts tournaments because if they do, they're likely to end up quitting and then they won't be students anymore in our school. What values do you think we can share with tomorrow's students that they would get from competition? That, you know, the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat, how do they learn from the defeat, how do they not whine about losing, those kind of things.
What I think they would get from it, because most people want to win. Everybody that want to win want to be number one. You know, in martial arts and in other sports that you get into, you're going to have some time that you can win, some time you're going to lose. And you're going to have a point where you're going to be down and you can come back. You got to pick, they need to learn from that about just because you're down, that means you're down. Your body can read what I call rejuvenate, because I know I had that experience.
Yeah.
Most of my students that I taught who came into Black Belt and stuff, they quit coming, and I got so good, like, well, I don't want to do anything more. And all the students gone, nobody want to do anything, so I'm just, my body just kind of like was there. Mm. And some came to me and say, and I came back and started working out. My body changed at an age of 45. It came back to just like I was like 25 or 30 or whatever. So your body can reach you where you can do stuff, like, that is, so your mind, you know, if you want to do something, you can do it. You got to, nowadays, you can do anything that you set your mind to do. And some people are really gifted to do stuff, and they don't take advantage of it.
Well, you know, one of my thoughts on that, you know, we just finished a tournament today. That premise is true if you take your students to bad organized tournaments, if you have not prepared your students for competition, if you send them to competition without preparing them, they're going to have a bad experience. And therefore, you know, but if you now teach your students when they go to competition, it's a learning process. It's a place to, it's feedback. Tournaments are feedback. So when you now go to a tournament, you have everyone that came here today. Of course, the winners with the 6-foot trophies, mm-hmm. Parents, they pat me on the back. We love you. Now, little Johnny that didn't place or got third place, you know, his energy is different. So, what do? We tell Johnny, what did you learn? The guy that won first place probably didn't learn anything. But the guy that won second place and third place, okay, there was a lot of information there that he could have done. But if you teach your students that life is about feedback, you know, when you come in, if you ask that question at the end of the day, you know, what did you actually learn?
Yeah, I saw a great quote just yesterday, as a matter of fact, and I did bought it that said, you know, it's great if you can teach people how to win, but it's even better if you teach them what to do when they don't win.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me give you an example. Coming up, I was a winner. I won all the way up to black belt. First time I lost, I was a black belt. That was the first fight as a black belt.
Wow.
It was so disturbing to me. But then after a while, I got to go back and I got to work hard. I got to be better at what I do. It gave me the incentive by losing to become better.
So the question is, how can I take a loss for our students and turn it into desire instead of defeat? How about you, Mr. Johnson? Have you you experienced any personal losses that inspired you to come back?
Oh, you learn from every experience that you have. And there's no such thing as a failure. It's just one way that didn't work. And what training our students to do is, even when they're in tournaments and they have not won, it's feedback in terms of, what did I do wrong? What can I learn in class to do better? Even winners, there's something to learn because no one's perfect. And I can always learn something from even winning a tournament, knowing that I could have done techniques better. And so tournaments are a great way of teaching kids how to get biofeedback in reference to what am I doing incorrectly, what can I do better, what can I learn from this experience to improve myself. And that translates into life the same way a person may not pass every test. What can I do to improve my score the next time?
As we get close to the end here, we do a little summary, because our main point today is, how do we carry this legacy forward, Grandmaster Callaghan, to the next generation? This weekend is about legends. It's about awards. But the legends mean we leave a legacy. We leave a tradition. So if all of us were to perish today, what would we like to have left with that next generation? What is the legacy of this generation?
I'm thinking in terms of what we have forward throughout the years into the people we've mentored, that if they can continue to do what was groundwork or basic, if they continue to that, they will get the ability on an individual basis to build upon it, but don't throw the old foundation away. Just remember the principles.
Well, that's a great point. And Grandmaster Bowen, I want to first of all say thank you for bringing this group of people together and having this vision for it. And as people leave this weekend, what will be the next things they can plan on hearing from you, and what will be the next step in carrying forward the great work that you brought together this weekend?
Well, this is just the beginning. We started off to be a little project, but I've talked with so many martial artists that have so many stories that they need to share, is that we're going to be, having this program again starting, this year, of having it, well, right after this event, planning for next year's event. And we're going to be introducing ourselves and talk with martial artists all across the country so we can share their stories.
Well, thanks for joining us here. It's Joe Corley, and I'm on behalf of Grandmaster Bowen and Master Lawson and Master Johnson and Master Polian and Grandmaster Callaghan. I want to say thank you all for joining us, and we look forward to another installment